Legal Toolkit with Jared Correa. With guest Kat Casey, we take the opportunity to talk about cats. And then, Jared's here to help keep you safe from one of the most serious natural hazards to life and property. Stick around to learn more. But first, your host, Jared Correa.
It's time for the Legal Toolkit podcast, which means your time is no longer your own, at least for the next 30 minutes or so. Unless you listen to us on 2x speed, in which case, do I sound like a chipmunk? And yes, it's still called the Legal Toolkit podcast, even though I don't even know what a bandsaw is. I'm just a bass player, after all. I'm your host, Jared Correa. You're stuck with me because Martin Mull was unavailable. He was occupied in crafting his monologue for the next episode of Fernwood Tonight. I'm the CEO of Red Cave Law Firm Consulting, a business management consulting service for attorneys and bar associations. Find us online at redcavelegal.com. I'm the COO of Gideon Software, an intake platform for law firms. Learn more and schedule a demo at gideonlegal.com. Now, before we get to our interview today, all about e-discovery with Kat Casey from Reveal, let's talk about the AI software landscape for law firms as it currently exists. Yes, I'm doing it again. But everybody keeps asking me about fucking AI. What am I supposed to do? Well, I guess what I'm going to do is another monologue on it. Okay, so let's talk about AI software tools built for law firms. So one of the issues that law firms have with artificial intelligence is that you've got like all these open source tools, which really anybody could use. ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Twitter's got something called Grok. I guess X has something called Grok. They're terrible about names. There's tons of these. Now, the problem with that as a law firm is that you're using a free version of a software like that. Like, they will be using that data to train their tool because AI gets better as it gets trained on new data. So if you're not paying for one of these tools, you're a guinea pig, basically. That's how you pay for it. And as everybody has seen, and there's all kinds of ethics opinions on this now, and court cases ongoing, not all kinds, but they're coming out pretty rapidly. AI tools hallucinate, which means they make up answers if they don't have sources to back up that answer. You see this with case law. AI just makes up case law. And much like a little kid who you ask like, hey, it's me and you in the house and the bathroom seems really dirty. And I didn't do that. And the kid's like, well, neither did I. AI is the same way. Ask it something, it'll lie to you. Ask it to confirm that it's not lying, it'll continue to lie. Part of the issue with that is access to data, which we'll talk about in a second. But those are the two big things, I think, the data confidentiality piece and the relevant information piece that are scaring lawyers off of using these AI tools. So the cool thing is that AI is developing pretty rapidly, right, as we all know. And there are a lot of tools that lawyers use every day that are going to have AI features baked in, which are a little bit more secure than these other options. So we're going to bring Kat Casey on in a second. She works at Reveal, which is an e-discovery company. E-discovery softwares have been using AI forever. There's something called technology-assisted review in e-discovery. And the whole thesis behind this is that there's just so much data and information in these big e-discovery cases that no human could ever review that information. It's just impossible. So you almost have to use technology. So these companies were forced to develop these features. Another place where you see AI having been used in legal on a regular basis is legal research, right? Thomson Reuters just acquired Casetext in 2021 and their Copilot tool, which was Legal Research Assistant. Now that's launched across their platform. Lexis has Lexis Plus AI, Fastcase and VLex, which recently merged. They've got an AI sandbox where they're helping you develop AI tools as a law firm. So that's not a new thing, by the way, like these legal research tools. Like Fastcase had a machine learning tool that would allow them to identify bad law effectively. instead of hiring an army of attorneys to do that, like companies like Lexis and West used to do. West and Lexis have been involved in this brief analysis war for a long time now, where you can drop a brief into their system and it'll show you the issues with that brief and help you correct it. That's not a new thing either. That's AI-based technology too. But what's interesting is that AI features are coming to the softwares you're using every day as a lawyer, and you may not even be aware of it. So let's start with productivity software, email, calendar, document storage. 99% of law firms use in Microsoft 365, hopefully, not the old Microsoft Office. The rest are using Google Workspace. Some are using both. Microsoft is a huge investor in OpenAI, the company that built and manages ChatGPT. So if you have been drafting emails, if you have been drafting documents in Outlook or Word and in Gmail or Google Docs, you recognize that there are these like completion tools now, where unless you turn it off, because it's the default, it'll suggest words, phrases, completions of sentences for you based on how you write. And you may be like, wow, that's weird. I was literally just going to write that. Well, that's because you're being studied. So you just hit the tab and you move forward. That drafting assistance is available right now. You're probably going to be able to use that to draft entire emails. And these tools are going to be much more heavily embedded in these softwares moving forward. So Microsoft 365 has something called Copilot, which is basically their AI overlay. So that's doing like drafting assistance, like we talked about. You'll be able to create an entire PowerPoint, including AI-generated images just from a description. You'll be able to summarize calls and conversations and teams. Google Workspace has a similar product called Duet, which will add the writing assistance. It doesn't do whole slide decks as of now, but it will do image generation for you. And then you get meeting summaries in Google Meet. Microsoft and Google have been of late kind of like merging in terms of like the feature set they offer and the cost for those tools. So this is not a surprise. Even the accounting software you use has AI features available. QuickBooks, every lawyer's accounting platform for the most part, they've got something called Intuit Assist. There are other products in that family, like Quicken, for example. That's going to be able to create and generate reports automatically. It's going to help you do task automation. It's going to help you build strategies, processes, workflows. And Xero, which is a competitor of QuickBooks, that was built by folks who left Intuit, the company that owns QuickBooks. They've got a generative AI tool, and I suspect they'll be building more. On the law practice management software front, you're going to see every one of these companies have an AI overlay at some point. Clio's announced something called Clio Duo, which I don't believe has been released yet, but that should be doing things like workflow recommendations, case summaries, document summaries, billing automation, which I'm excited about. And a lot of these softwares will do help and support via AI, which I think might be really useful for getting attorneys to use some of these embedded features and softwares that they don't know about. FileVine's got a number of different applications that they have available under this AI for Law platform, which is currently accessible. They've got immigration forms. They've got document summaries. They have the ability to generate demand letters. A lot of their clients are personal injury attorneys. They've got custom research prompts, and they've got a support tool as well. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. More and more of these companies are going to start to develop AI tools. Customer relationship management softwares have AI features as well. Salesforce has an overlay called Salesforce Einstein. HubSpot has something called HubSpot AI. They're doing the same type of stuff. Insights, reports, predictions, workflows, content creation, campaign building. Salesforce has a tool for a next best action. Okay, you've done these seven things to try and onboard a client. Like, here's the next thing you should do, as recommended by AI. Lawmatics, a legal-specific tool for CRM. They have something called LM Brackets AI, which is an email drafting and editing tool. Even task management software, which is not necessarily legal-specific. The only one I'm aware of this, like, legal, or a couple. There's Dashboard Legal, there's Legal Boards, but the more mature products in that space for task management, project management, Notion has an AI product. That'll help you with workflow design, drafting assistance, table building. TaskAid has something called TaskAid AI. The same type of stuff. They'll do some mind mappings. They'll be able to help you create AI agents. Lots of interesting stuff coming down the pipe. So why is that important? Well, a few reasons. One is you've got focused data sets, right? So the reason that some of these generic AI tools hallucinate is because they don't necessarily have access to the case law database that's available in Lexis or West. If they did, they would generate better results, right? So you have more focused data sets. And then you're going to be dumping sensitive or confidential data into these systems, but you actually already have a bunch of confidential data in these systems. And that's under the protection of a service level agreement that you have with those vendors. So take a look at your service level agreements. See what they say about data treatment and how it's managed and what security protocols these companies have in place. See if they've updated their service level agreements with respect to the use of AI. Feel comfortable with that? That's a better space to be in than just using like a free tool that anybody could use. I do think it's helpful to have an AI use policy in your law firm. And if you don't have anything like that right now, I think that's something you should be looking at. There are some templates that you can find online, which might be helpful. So I think the way that this is going to go for law firms is that you're going to see law firms instituting these AI usage policies for lawyers and staff. And you're going to see more and more law firms just start relying on the softwares they're already relying on, all of which are going to have AI overlays, integrations, and tools available to them. And that's going to be a much safer environment than exists right now. Okay, we did it. Another AI topic. Maybe more to come, or maybe at some point I actually get sick of this. Now, before we talk with Kat Casey of Reveal about eDiscovery, and yes, a little bit about AI, let's hear a little something-something from our sponsors. Then we'll get into a rump roast that's only for curious cats. Contract automation isn't a trend. It's a strategic imperative. Though big players in the e-sign world will make you believe implementing it will cost you big bucks and more than a few headaches, it doesn't have to be that way. DocuBee is an easy-to-onboard, full suite of products that includes e-signature, brilliant workflow capabilities, and AI contract automation at nearly half the price of those out-of-touch behemoths. The one thing DocuBee doesn't automate? Their customer service. Visit get.docubee.com/contracts to set up a call with a real live person. DocuBee will be with you every step of the way. Partner with Rankings.io, the marketing agency for law firms that want results, not excuses. With flat rates for Google ads, a track record ranking attorneys for the most competitive terms on Google, and a team always easy to reach by phone, even during off hours, Rankings.io is the agency of choice for firms that want the rankings, traffic, and cases other law firm marketing agencies just can't deliver. Visit Rankings.io for a free consultation and start seeing your firm grow. Okay, everybody, let's get to the meat in the middle of this podcasting sandwich. It's our interview section. Today's meat is chicken thighs, which is the grossest part of the chicken. Don't at me. It absolutely is. As I said, it's time to interview our guest. Today, we have, for your listening pleasure, on the one and only Legal Toolkit podcast, it's the one and only Kat Casey, the Chief Growth Officer at Reveal. Kat, how are you doing?
I don't know if I've ever been called chicken thighs before, but I think it's like high up on my list of introductions.
I wasn't technically calling you chicken thighs because I hate chicken thighs, but are you familiar with the chicken thigh thing?
I'm not a fan of them because I was vegan for 13 years and there's too much like bone and stuff in it. Not my jam.
It's really disgusting. So I'm glad we're on the same page about that. Thanks for coming on. You are at Reveal, an e-discovery company. So how many mergers and acquisitions did it take to get here? 30, 40? You know, like I will tell you, I've had trouble following the staggering pace in eDiscovery. There's like a million new companies. Like, what's going on? Help me.
You know what? I think it's because we built the airplane when we were flying, and like some had great wings, some had a great propeller, some had a great engine. But as the industry got more robust, we're like, hey, this is kind of a, you know, Frankenstein with limbs all over the place. Let's start bringing this tech together to solve the whole problem, right? I mean, my company, I think we're on number 13. We did three last year. It was kind of a, you know, whirlwind.
That was close.
You know, it kind of makes sense. Like everything's moving so fast in the kind of the mathematics of buy, build, partner. Build takes too long. Partner leaves you susceptible to someone else buying it. So people are just gobbling up tech to try to have bigger, better AI-powered solutions.
So you're building the planes you fly. I think that's the strategy at Boeing. Thanks, I'll be here all week. Do you think like the pace of acquisition stuff slows down now, or has it already? Like, is there even more to buy at this point?
I think it shifts. I'm going to say something actually pretty divisive. I think e-discovery.
Good. We love that.
Period. Like, I think the silo of e-discovery, of just tech for e-discovery, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, it's going to go to the wayside because it's really just extracting value and mitigating risk with data. It's data solutions for legal. And so I don't think the pace slows, but you're running out of rich targets just that do e-discovery. I think it shifts. Compliance, you know, virtual data rooms, maybe a contract analytic company pairing up with an e-discovery company. But I think it maybe goes to more enterprise big players in tech generally, the Microsofts, Googles of the world, or it's broader than just e-discovery, because even the roles, I think, are changing. I think I was talking with Jesse Torres from McDermott Will yesterday. I think that roles like e-discovery director may not be a role 5 years from now because it's going to be something else, data risk manager or data e-data leader. I mean, that's like what Scott Milner has. I think that's what I think the next chapter looks like.
I hardly know anything about e-discovery. So talk to me like I'm a two-year-old who knows nothing about e-discovery. Why is that divisive?
Well, because everyone loves their little silo. Everyone thinks what they do is so important, and it is. But e-discovery, it was born in, you know, 2006. People sort of were like, email, that's not discoverable. Who cares, right? And then as more of how we communicated, interacted became data, you know, Slack, ephemeral message, social media, text, email. If you want to know what anyone's doing, you've got to follow that digital footprint. E-discovery is all about finding the evidence, but the evidence isn't the only risk, right? Maybe you want to preempt the risk so you don't have the big litigation. Maybe you don't want to have a second request down the road by doing better due diligence. It kind of all commingles. And so you start looking at, I'm looking for risk and value and data, and that's a bigger picture than just litigation preparedness and post-incident investigation, which is the bread and butter of what traditionally has been e-discovery.
So wait, is email discoverable? No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
Okay. I was on your LinkedIn profile today, and this is a first for me. You describe yourself as an AI baddie.
Oh, yeah.
What does an AI baddie do exactly? You're the only one I know.
Well, there's actually a tribe of us. There's a lot of,
oh, really? I hope this is true.
Thing. It's actually an initiative I started along with Cassie Burns and Ashley Pickard-Jubin. We realized when we're out there, I write, I speak, I talk a lot. That's why half the time when you talk to me, I have no voice.
this is true.
But I'm hearing the same voices over and over again. And there's this whole cohort, in particular of ladies that, you know, are really sharp, know their stuff when it comes to AI, but aren't getting platformed. And so we held the first meetup with like 40 women, and we're just like, hey, we're going to cross-pollinate. If I have 30 panels I'm putting together at Legal Week, I want to get some names. If I've got a story I'm going to write, about kind of elevating people. So AI Baddies is actually like a female consortium of AI people that want to be out there speaking and making sure we don't kind of go the way other industries do, where it's an echo chamber of just the same four or five people talking over and over again. So, boom.
Boring, middle-aged white dudes like myself.
Or just me. Like, there's people like me where I'm out there so much. I'm not boring. I am middle-aged and I'm not a white dude, right? But it's about like just more voices, right? Because it can kind of be like, if you go to 50 plus conferences a year like I do, it's like, oh, I've heard this panel. Oh, I've heard this five people say the exact same thing. I'm bored. I want to hear new voices. Let's get interesting. Let's mix it up.
Okay. So if people are listening and they're putting on conferences and they want to access an AI baddie for a panel, like what's the play? Talk to you? Is there a website?
We're set up the website now. We've got a LinkedIn group that folks that want to join can join in. We're building up more stuff now. Like I said, we just kind of kicked it off right before Legal Week, which was 8 weeks ago. Yeah. I have I think it's the AIbaddies.ai, but it's not published yet. It's going to be published when I'm convinced that it looks good enough to go prime time, probably in the next month or so.
All right, everybody. So keep Googling that until it actually appears. That got to be AIbaddies.ai. There's no other way to do it.
I know.
All right, let's jump into the e-discovery stuff a little bit more. So like, you hear the term like tech-assisted review in relation to e-discovery. Like I see that on all the e-discovery websites. But like, isn't that the whole thing now? Is anyone not doing tech-assisted e-discovery? Or am I missing something?
So the adoption rate of machine learning and AI for e-discovery, so algorithms to help connect the dots and find evidence faster, was painfully slow. Like the first case was in 06, 07, 08, 09, around De Silva Moore, painfully slow. The last 18 months, people are much more curious and starting to adopt it, but it's definitely less than 50% of cases are leveraging any sort of AI and machine learning. I think in the next...
Seems crazy to me. Sorry, go ahead.
Same. No, 100%. I think that the... You know, with AI going mainstream, with the generative AI revolution, I mean, there's a South Park episode about it after all, like talk about mainstream, right? I think you're going to have to start using tech or clients are going to be like, WTF, man. If Cartman's talking about it, why is my AMP 100 lawyer not talking about it, you know? And TAR, technology-assisted review, that's just really reinforcement learning. So humans giving the algorithm a pattern to start surfacing more similar information so you can review it faster. There's dozens of other cool tech. There's visualizations, there's social network analysis, who's talking to who with what frequency. There's even generative AI, like you can literally type in like ChatGPT, we have a thing called Ask, and it will go through all the information and answer it like ChatGPT and then push you to all these different links. So there's a lot of different flavors of AI that you can use. I like to say it's a spectrum. Like you don't have to go all in, all the way to the tip of the spear, but start dipping your toe in. Because if you're not using even little baby steps, the robots aren't going to eat your lunch, but Bob in the office next to you using tech is going to go so much faster that your clients are going to be like, yeah, you're so last quarter.
I like how you just refer to AI as sort of like Baskin Robbins. I like that.
I try.
I can get with that. Okay. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. What do you think is the coolest e-discovery feature in software right now? Just one.
I'm all about the visuals, honestly.
And it's okay. I like that. I mean, I vibe with that.
I'm here for the old school cluster wheel and the social communication map because it is powerful AI that's approachable to a non-technologist. Most lawyers don't go to law school to play around in relational databases. I know I didn't, right? But an image that you can interact with that can help you start like just getting rid of the noise. I mean, that's, I think, the most compelling. The sexiest, that's all the generative AI stuff. But I think where the magic happens is when the generative AI then pushes you right into those visuals, right? So then it's Google easy, pictures. I mean, it's so easy a lawyer would use it.
I got to tell you, it's funny. Like I talked to a number of lawyers about AI, not as many as you, I'm sure. And a lot of folks I talked to, like they haven't used it a ton. And interestingly, that's one of the things they talk about, which is like, what are the visualizations? Like, can I do timelines? Like, can I do communication maps? That kind of thing. So I think that's right in line with sort of a new use case.
It's sort of how you think about it. It's you're going to have first, second, third, fourth year associates and lit support directors in the tech. But then when you're the partner and you're doing case strategy, I want a picture that I can quickly interpret and synthesize, not have to scroll through lines of what looks like a spreadsheet from hell, right? And so I think that the visual, that's what helps kind of cut down the noise for a lot of the lawyers who, again, they're brilliant in their area of expertise. They're the best rainmaker in antitrust, but they're not a tech-minded person. So it's uncomfortable in the more databasey stuff. The pictures bridge that gap.
So we're at this point in time where the AI revolution, I forget how you termed it. You may have called it a revolution. Don't let me put words in your mouth, though. Like, it's happening, though. Things are going down.
Oh, yeah.
What should people be looking at in the future of AI in e-discovery? Like, what's coming next that's not out right now that you can talk about without getting in trouble?
I mean, I think part of it's the generative AI stuff. So being able to summarize, be able to generate content, being able to maybe eliminate portions of first pass review. But it's not only that. It's that in concert with all the other great tech that's going to bring people back full circle to what discovery was supposed to be. I'm looking at the most critical facts of the who, what, when, where, why, how to build a fact-driven case strategy. It turned into this crazy exercise of categorizing and tagging and organizing trillions of, well, not trillions, tens of millions of documents and emails and texts and boom, 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 right? It's going to bring us back full circle to where you can work quickly with the AI to get to that meat and do your strategy. build it out and start answering those, you know, those questions, build out the narrative, right? Because what are lawyers? Lawyers are storytellers, not in the deceptive way, as in we're recreating journalists, right? We're getting to the just the facts, ma'am, right? It's going to make us able to do that more quickly and get us back to what we went to law school for. You know, maybe it's not a Perry Mason moment, but it's a lot more fun than privilege, relevant, issue one, issue two, which is what they have to do every single document right now.
Is there something that's less fun than privilege that I'm not aware of? Not my idea of a good time.
Stamping back in the day when it was actually a stamp was pretty bad. You know, all the paper cuts, pretty bad. But yeah, no, there are very few
paper
things.
I haven't gotten a paper cut in a long time. It's been kind of nice. Let's explore the studio space a little bit. You're on the New York State Bar's AI Task Force, right? How's that going? A lot of squabbling? A lot of yapping? Or is stuff actually happening?
Stuff is actually happening. Vivian, who's kind of the chair, is very organized. And like we pulled together this report that's like, you know, the state of the universe, the risk rewards, practical guidance. And it was a lot more organized than I expected it to be. And I think it's because we're all learning in parallel. So you didn't necessarily have people that wanted to be on a soapbox. It was much more, let's research, synthesize, and then kind of move forward together. And we had a nice mix of a self-proclaimed troglodyte, which I had to Google to verify I was getting it right, but it's basically a Luddite plus caveman.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Beautiful word, right?
Like the caveman lawyer. Right? I would describe him as potentially a troglodyte. Yeah.
So some self-proclaimed troglodyte to folks like Ron Hedges and I who are talking about GAI every week. And so it was nice to sort of have both ends of the spectrum to be technical enough to be useful, but approachable enough that someone that is coming along for this renaissance now to kind of get up to speed. And so it's actually, I think, really impactful.
That's good. Do you have a sense of when you'll be releasing something, or is that still TBD?
Pretty soon.
Okay. All right. Everybody watch out for that. All right. So we talked about, you're brave because you joined task forces.
I do.
You go out into the world and attend conferences. Mm-hmm. So we talked about this a little bit in the pre-show. Like, I don't like going to conferences. And one of the reasons I don't like going to conferences is because people get sloppy, you know? I feel like, hey, I'm outside of my zip code, and now I can do literally whatever the fuck I want. So I guess there was this crazy incident at Legal Week recently.
Eight or 10 crazy incidents, yeah.
Really? Okay, so like, what is the deal with all that stuff? Because the one I heard about was some guy was like being inappropriate with this woman, and like then he pulled a knife on somebody. Like, that's just insane. So like, I know you were commenting on this. Like, how do we shut this down? Because it's just ridiculous.
My thought is hold them accountable. Like, that guy was actually at my company and we fired him in 8 hours. And
I heard that.
It's an important thing. You're not going to stop every crazy person. Legal Week had 7,000 people. It's in the middle of Manhattan.
Yeah. For those who haven't been, it is like a massive, massive event.
But step one, and I'm part of Women at eDiscovery's Operation Safe Spaces now and Splash. So Safe Spaces is about building proactive change for conferences to make them a little safer, less sloppy. Splash was about vendors saying, hey, we're going to enforce all of our policies. But the reality is, like, bad things may happen. But if 9 bad things happen and only one person got fired, that's where the problem is. People aren't being held accountable. And if they think it's a hall pass and, hey, my boss won't fire me, no one's going to know what happens in New York stays in New York, that's where the problem happens. If it's, hey, no, I'm still doing work stuff, right? And I still have to be a grown-up, that's where you start making change. And I think also for a lot of us, like, I've been going to conferences since I was 23. I think I've been a frog in a frying pan because I thought things were better and they're just not. I think I just kind of learned to tune it out. And so it was a good like wake up call for me. Like, no, I've got to pay attention more. Like I go to so many, I always have a herd of people around me, but what if it's someone's first year? Like, so making sure.
Yeah, right. And they're isolated.
Yeah. And so I think it was good for all of us to kind of mobilize and say, let's be pragmatic. I mean, I'm on with Marla Crawford over at Simplify, Alicia Howley at Kanell Gates, Beth Finkel, head of Women in E, and we're trying to really just like, let's do something to make this better. Because I started a charity about this 6 years ago called the Fearless Network about the Me Too stuff, because there was the same stuff going on. And I'm kind of frustrated we're still talking about it. So like, let's start doing stuff to move the needle, because, you know, we're professionals, we're fun, but we also have to take care of this whole great industry, you know?
Yeah, you're professional until you get like a few whiskey sours in you. So like the Flash thing that you're working on, like how can people find out more about the Flash, right? Did I say Flash? Did I say that right?
Flash like water.
Splash. Okay. So like where to...
Service providers and legal against sexual harassment, I think it is. Okay. But so that ask if you work at a legal service company, ask your company if they took the pledge, right? It's more of an open admission that, hey, we are going to hold these people accountable. The other thing is the Women in eDiscovery. There's a task force called Operation Safe Spaces. We just launched it on International Women's Day 2 weeks ago. We're building out the charter, but the aim is to, by clock and by some of these upcoming really quick conferences, to just have some guidance like anonymous reporting or a buddy system, or hey, maybe don't have unlimited drinks at 18 bars until 5 a.m., right? Guidance, like common sense stuff, but things that the conferences should be doing, and then we as sponsors should be demanding, and clients attending should be demanding. And so my hope is we move the needle a little bit. I mean, Legal Week, unfortunately, was where all this happened, but they already have an anonymous reporting company in there. They've redone their T's and C's and their employee guidelines. And so at least we're seeing some change, which we didn't see 5-6 years ago.
If folks want more information about that stuff,
reach out to me. Go to Women in eDiscovery, and I would email your local chapter and ask them about Operation Safe Spaces. I'm happy to answer questions. Beth Finkel, Alicia Howley, Blash, Marla Crawford at Simplify, C-I-M-P-L-I-F-I is running point on that. But honestly, if you're a legal service vendor, ask them if they've taken the pledge. And then talk with people. Like if you have dealt with this, if you want to kind of work on moving forward, I'm a resource. I've been an advocate for folks dealing with this for as long as I've been talking about AI, because, you know, we're professionals going to work. We shouldn't have to deal with the BS.
Okay, let's do a palate cleanser to finish things off.
I like it.
You're a board member of this cool nonprofit called Law Rocks. Law Rocks exclamation point.
Yes.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
So Law Rocks is a global consortium of lawyers that are rock stars.
Aren't all lawyers rock stars? No, no.
I
digress. they are in fact not.
We are literal rock stars. And so we go around the world and we raise money for each band has a charity they're sponsoring. And we go to like the most iconic venues in a city. So like, you know, Whiskey A Go-Go in LA, the Gramercy Club, like you name it, a place that a rocker band would want to play at. We host these events. This past weekend, we raised $411,000 in 48 hours for 14 charities. And we're rinse, repeat. We're doing San Fran, I think, on the 2nd. We're doing Chicago May 16th. We do, I think, 15 shows a year. And it's really cool. Like the managing partner, Perkins Coie, was, you know, the head of one of the bands. We had people from Latham, from the general counsel of Grindr, like you name it, like cool people are on stage and they do a battle of the bands to take home a platinum.
I was going to say, please God, let this be a battle of the bands. It is
really good.
Amazing.
So the funny thing is Joy Morrow told me about this 4 years ago. And I was like, can I not go? And I went the first night and I loved it so much. I was supposed to be flying out the next morning to go to a Women in eDiscovery concert. I canceled my flight. I changed it. I stayed a second day. I convinced them to put me on the board. And then I road trip down with Joy to the Women in eDiscovery conference. Like it's so cool. If you haven't been, go to the website. I think lawrocksglobal.org, I think. I don't know. Put it in the chat or put it in the description, get me honest. But it's like 20 shows, global, domestic, and it's just really fun.
Are you getting up there and playing?
Oh God, no.
Oh, I was gonna say you're not doing the cowbell, like you can always use more cowbell.
I'm aiming to, if there are rock stars that are in legal, so I only need 2 legal people. If there's someone that wants to join a band and all I need to do is I want to play anything percussive, like a tambourine, a cowbell and a triangle, maybe maracas. Like if that was all I did, that would be my rock star dream come true. Otherwise I'm just like the number one hype girl.
You heard it here. Come join this lady's band.
I know.
Kat, that flew by. That was really fun. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right. Will you stick around for one last segment, even though you have no idea what we're going to talk about?
Of course.
Okay. All right. We'll take one final sponsor break so you can hear more about what our sponsor companies can do for you with their latest service offerings. And stay tuned, as always, for the Rump Roast. It's even more supple than the roast beast. Simplify. With CosmoLex, the only fully integrated practice management solution. Everything you need accessible anywhere. Trust and general accounting is built in, so you don't need QuickBooks. Cosmolex's Money Finder reminds you to bill for work you put into client matters so you don't leak money. That's messy. Lower cost, better business, and less frustration. Yes, please. It's all built in with Cosmolex. Free trial and take 20% off your first year at cosmolex.com.
Hey, Gee, what's up?
Just having some lunch, Conrad.
Hey, Gee, do you see that billboard out there?
Oh, you mean that guy out there in the gray suit?
Yeah, the gray suit guy.
Order up.
There's all those beautiful, rich, leather-bound books in the background.
That is exactly the one. That's J.D. McGuffin at law. He'll fight for you!
I bet you he has got so many years of experience.
Like decades and decades. And I bet, Gee, I bet he even went to a law school.
Are you a lawyer? Do you suffer from dull marketing and a lack of positioning in a crowded legal marketplace? Sit down with Gee and Conrad for Lunch Hour Legal Marketing on the Legal Talk Network, available wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome back, everybody. That's right. We're at the rear end of the Legal Toolkit podcast. We call it the Rump Roast. It's a grab bag of short form topics, all of my choosing. Why do I get to pick? Because I'm the host. All right, this is pretty apropos, Cap, because we were just talking about music. So I want to do a little music game with you. Let's talk about cats. I'm going to read some song lyrics to you.
Oh, I'm so bad at this.
Because I can't sing. And the intention is that you'll be bad at it. We okay. Just like to torture people.
I mean, from Rump Roast, I'm going to be the rumpiest of roasts.
Well, it's a high bar. I hope so. So I'm going to read song lyrics.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and make them not super hard because I can't sing. Each of these songs includes the word cat somewhere in it. And it's simply your job to fill in the blanks. I have hints for you if you need them. And let's say we're doing this in honor of Law Rocks. Go check it out.
Exclamation point.
Law Rocks, exclamation point. I got five of these for you. They'll go quick. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Go.
Sweet like honey, karma is a cat, purring in my lap because it loves me. Flexing like a blank.
Give me a hint because I'm thinking of like pour some sugar on me and that's not it at all.
Oh, that's the wrong direction. Okay. Here's your hint. The singer of this song is in her era's era.
Oh, I won't know that at all. I am not a Swiftie.
You're not a Swiftie. I can't believe I had you on the podcast.
I'm now. A Metallica rock and roll, like, gal. If it's Swiftie stuff, I'm ruined.
Yeah, this is going to be rough for you.
Oh, no.
Karma is a cat flexing like a goddamn acrobat from the Taylor Swift song, Karma.
It's only going to get worse from here.
We may be looking at 0-5 here, but we're gonna proceed. We're going to proceed on. Maybe you know this one. I know this is an older song.
Hey now, I'm only barely middle-aged.
Same.
According to Webster, middle age starts at 35, which did crush my soul a little bit. So barely.
That is terrible. I felt like we were vibing before we had the same pop culture references. So maybe you know this one. Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. When You Coming Home, Dad. Blank. I have a hint as well if you need it.
Because I only remember the first two parts of that.
Yes, the next part is tough. So the singer of this song died in a car accident on the Long Island Expressway while on his way to a benefit concert. And I'm going to just give you the guy's name to help you out. Harry Chapin. You know him?
I know the song, but I'm bad at this. So I'm 0-2. Yes.
When You Coming Home, Dad? I don't know when. Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin. One of the saddest songs out there.
I know.
All right, 0-2, but we got time. We can still resurrect this.
Although, I would count as a win, though, honestly. So
I don't have high hopes, but like you should just keep getting them wrong intentionally, so your metal friends won't make fun of you. Okay.
I know.
Here we go. Here's another one. We're back in the 70s.
Oh Lord.
They said, "Get back, honky cat. Better get back to the woods." Well, I quit those days and blank. Hint?
Sure.
I'm just going to give you the singer because I don't think the hints are helping.
No.
Elton John, get back, Honky Cat.
Am I looking better just for the name of the musician or the title or anything? I'm not going to get anything.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know what? I'm just going to walk this back and give it to you. Honky Cat is the name of the song.
I love
Elton John. Well, I quit those days in my redneck ways. We're continuing on the journey of 05 to make all Cass Music friends proud of her. This is one you might get because this is like a pop culture reference. Okay. They won't take you to the vet. You're obviously not their favorite pet. Smelly cat. What's the next line?
Isn't it whoa or something?
No.
I know it's Phoebe. I don't remember the word.
Phoebe from Friends.
Not One Piece. So 0.5. I'm 0 for 0.5 for 5.
It's not your fault, smelly cat.
Gotcha.
There's no way you're going to get this last one, but I'm just going to read it for fun.
I love it.
By the blue-tiled walls, near the market stalls, there's a blank. These days, she says, I feel my life just like a river running through. The Year of the Cat. Do you know the song, The Year of the Cat? Are you familiar with that one?
0%.
Okay, 0%? You've never heard that song before?
If I heard it playing, I probably would pick up on it, but I'm not.
I wish we could like do these without like incurring like massive fees from the royalties, because this would make this a lot easier. Al Stewart, Year of the Cat. The missing line is hidden door she leads you to. So interesting fact about Al Stewart. He wrote a song about Warren Harding, the president. Yeah. So
first pop icon. Yeah.
Probably a real loser. They never would have let him be part of Pantera. So
he's not Dimebag. No, he's not. Doesn't have the good goatee going on.
I feel like this is a triumph for you, honestly.
I am 0.5 for 5. To be fair, several of the songs did come out before I was born.
Yes, exactly. And I will say Me Too as well, just to let everybody know I'm not 85 years old. Yeah. So let me ask you before we finish out here, what is your favorite band as a metalhead?
Metallica.
Best song from Metallica? Best album? Can you hit me up?
Best Black album, 100%. I like One. I like Fade to Black. I like Enter Sandman. Basically anything before Load and Reload is a good album. Ride the Lightning is pretty decent. So if you asked me Metallica facts, I would have been 5 for 5.
Come back on. We'll do Metallica facts.
Next time.
Or maybe you could quiz me about Metallica facts and I will have no idea what's happening. This was fun. You were a good sport as always.
My pleasure.
Thanks for covering all this ground. Yeah, we'll have you come on back. And in the meantime, people should look for your conferences, I think, right?
For people that are wearing very obnoxiously sequined clothing, that usually is, if I look a little bit like I could be, I don't know, doing Broadway because of a full sequence suit, that is Cat. You know, it's like I want to refract light at you, maybe cause a seizure. That's Techno Cat. That's the vibe I give.
Okay. I think you should be easy to find then. All right. Thanks for coming on. And we'll talk to you next time, everybody. If you want to find out more about Kat Casey and her work at Reveal, visit revealdata.com. That's REVEALDATA.com, revealdata.com. Now, for those of you listening and just sizzling in Bacon, Texas, we've got a Spotify playlist covering Kat songs, which at this point should probably be no surprise. As we work thematically here at The Legal Toolkit, there's a method to our madness. Sadly, I've run out of time today to talk about the physics behind a slab avalanche, but perhaps we can save the conversation for another time, assuming you're not standing underneath an oncoming slab avalanche right now. This is Jared Correa, reminding you that you can milk anything with nipples.
If you're a lawyer running a solo or small firm and you're looking for other lawyers to talk through issues you're currently facing in your practice, Join the Unbillable Hours Community Roundtable, a free virtual event on the third Thursday of every month. Lawyers from all over the country come together and meet with me, lawyer and law firm management consultant Christopher T. Anderson, to discuss best practices on topics such as marketing, client acquisition, hiring and firing, and time management. The conversation is free to join, but requires a simple reservation. The link to RSVP can be found on the Unbillable Hour page at LegalTalkNetwork.com. We'll see you there.